Hey folks, this is Dr. Donna Kelleher, Pet Doc Donna, 28 years of experience as a holistic veterinarian, and I just wanted to share with you a couple of things I was thinking. There was this new study that came out from the University of Arizona on the Canine Cognitive Center, which basically said that we should only feed our pets once a day. So what do you think about that? I've had lots of clients tell me that there's no way they could feed their pets once a day, that their pets would like follow them around the house screaming at them. So I thought I should make a little sort of podcast about it. So the study came from the thought, I guess the philosophy is that if you have a canine, the canine and the feline digestive tract is shorter than the human one. The human digestive tract is longer because we are more herbivorous. We eat more vegetables, more grains, more seeds, that sort of thing. The canine and the feline digestive tract tends to go for more meat-based proteins, more amino acid-based proteins, which generally means that they don't need to eat as often. You think about it, like a cat in nature would eat maybe once every few days if they were lucky to find prey, you know, at that point. And then in between, maybe munch on some grass or something like that, mostly fasting. And dogs, but same token, you know, not too often. And they would basically engorge themselves and then be fine for a couple of days. So we have totally changed their GI tracts, of course, and made it so that they are not really as strong as perhaps they once were genetically, historically. A lot of the purebred dogs tend to be weaker digestively, which means their immune systems are weaker because what happens in the digestive tract happens in the immune system. The immune system basically more or less is controlled by the digestive tract. So at least 70% of the way. So, you know, it probably makes sense in a healthy young animal to feed them once a day and maybe just have a little snack, at another time of day. But the main thing is that most dogs today, they're just eating treats after treats after treats, you know, any positive trainer and stuff like that. We're just treat, 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 treat. And this is very bad for the digestive tract. So when we think about why it is that we want to just feed the dog and then wait, we think about things like transit time, how long does it take the food to get through the digestive tract, what happens to the food when it's in the digestive tract. So, you know, if the food is shooting through because maybe the dog has inflammatory bowel disease and is rejecting a lot of those proteins, then the bacteria really don't have time to work on the digestive tract correctly. Sometimes you get something called SIBO, small intestine bowel overgrowth, or just immune problems that start in the gut. So we want to foster a situation where we're fostering the correct or the good biome, good bacteria, good yeast. I don't know if people know this or not, but you have that the digestive tract of the dog, at least, I don't know about the human, but has probiotic yeast, not just bacteria. Something like, and Full Bucket Health has taken advantage of this and provided their canine GI support by a probiotic, mostly have Saccharomyces in it, which is the same probiotic yeast that goat kefir or even cow kefir, though we have more allergies to cow kefir than goat kefir, but all of the kefirs have Saccharomyces. That's one of the two, I think, probiotic yeasts in the kefir, which can outcompete the bad yeast and the bad bacteria, right? So I like to talk about probiotic yeast, but most people know about Acidophilus, and so Lactobacillus acidophilus. The company Purina made Fortiflora, although it's a chicken-based product and has a lot of allergies to it. It does seem to help a lot of dogs just through adding the Lactobacillus acidophilus, which you can also, as you know, get from regular yogurt as long as the dog's not allergic to that. I like using the RX Biotic because it has three species. RX Biotic is made by RX Vitamins, and it has bifidum, Lactobacillus acidophilus, and then Bifidum bacterium longum. And that bacteria has been shown to, I think probably others have too, but has been shown to calm the nervous system. It's one of our anti-anxiety medications because even though it's a probiotic. But just think though, if the dog's digestive tract is healthy enough, we don't need to give them probiotics, right? It's just like they have strong bacteria in their intestinal tract. It's only when we come along with pharmaceuticals, conventional factory farmed meats and GMO'd Roundup Ready grains and actually Roundup Ready meats, and also antibiotics from our vet. It's just like these are the things we do to break down this healthy biome, to break down the immune system. So it's kind of neat to just talk about probiotics for a second. Adored Beast came out with a canine probiotic, which is larch based. It's like a larch, the lactin, the lac, what are they called? The lignans in larch as being an immune enhancer and a probiotic. And they also mixed that with humic and fulvic acid in their proprietary blend of canine probiotics. And so, I use my RX Biotic for cats too. Cats seem to not have as much disruption in the microflora unless we've come along with antibiotics and really pretty harsh pharmaceuticals. Cats are pretty resistant to they have a stronger, I think, GI flora than dogs do. And maybe that's just because we're not generally inbreeding the cats as much. Although all the purebred cats do have a lot of problems that I've seen, and don't tend to live as long as the ones that aren't purebred cats, and don't seem to have any problems unless they go outside. So the ASPCA and the AKC still advise for twice a day feeding, and I think for most animals they're just not healthy enough to feed them once a day. You think about if they're older, if they're sick, if they have any medical issues at all, they're really needing small meals. And so twice a day seems reasonable, but I think the problem is when people keep giving them treats one right after another, and then who knows how many times a day they're eating. Each time the dog eats, the dog and or the cat gets an alkalizing wave. So what that means is their body pH goes up and their urinary pH can go up. And what happens when their urinary pH goes up? They can get crystals. So you might see it as struvite crystals, stones. They can get bladder stones. They can get chronic urinary tract infections, and they can get incontinence. And a lot of times this gets missed by the regular veterinarian because even though the pH is high, could be as high as 8.5, the veterinarian says it's normal because there's no infection. And I did a whole podcast on the urine before, and so you guys can check that out. But anyway, suffice it to say, you're okay feeding twice a day, but the best case would be like once a day, larger meal, other time of day, smaller meal. And ideally, on the smaller meal, a probiotic-rich diet served, probiotic-rich. So, what would that mean? That would mean maybe yogurt and psyllium. Like a teaspoon of psyllium mixed with yogurt as a snack at night, and in the morning feeding them more. The prebiotics, just some common prebiotics you can mix in, are flaxseed meal, chia seed, pumpkin seeds. Pumpkin seeds are in our vitamin powder that we recommend, and there's a YouTube video on how to make that. Coconut fiber. And coconut fiber would be coconut flour would be probably the best thing to make treats out of if you wanted to use flour to hold together a treat. Burdock root, Jerusalem artichoke, yam, asparagus. anything that contains inulin and FUS, FOS, fructooligosaccharides. So all of those are prebiotics in addition to the larch. And I know there's a company called Lignans for Life that sells a, I don't think it's from larch. I think it's from, it's a different tree. I'm trying to think of the name of the tree. Gosh, it's going to come to me later, but anyway, but what they are is they're lignans that help, that are basically like make that bacteria in the intestinal tract just come alive, the healthy bacteria. So anyway, if you guys want to comment, share, you know, like any questions come up about this subject, just shoot them over to me. I'm on email. I'm on wholepetvet@gmail.com and currently trying to build up my YouTube channel, my Instagram. So kind of concentrating on them a little bit more, but happy to get any kind of input you guys think. Like, how many times a day do you feed your pets? and like with cats, cats that are free feeders, you guys, terrible, not good management. But, you know, the problem is people get so surprised when the cat has kidney failure or the cat has hyperthyroidism, or these are all autoimmune diseases, by the way, immune-mediated diseases, bowel problems, clumpy hair, you know, needs lots of grooming because, you know, overweight, a lot of overweight cats. They're free choice cats. People just leave kibble there and then the cat just nibbles on the kibble and it seems like fine. If you were an herbivore, you could eat more often like that, but the cat's not supposed to do that. Once a day is plenty fine. You know, you put the food down and you pick the food back up. And that is why kibble fed dogs and cats are tend to be less healthy. There's too many carbohydrates in there. It's better to have a higher protein meal and high antioxidant, high nutritional load, excellent bioavailability, and then just pick up the food after 15 minutes and then put it back in the fridge and warm it back up for dinner. Much better than free choice, all you can eat kibble, not to mention the mold spores that the kibble can grow and things like that that are invisible. You can't see it, but can be detrimental to their health. Anyway, thanks you guys. Thanks for joining me. Let me know if you have any questions. See you next week.